Psalm 2 for us.
Page 543, Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The king of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs, and the Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Grace. Our next reading is from Luke chapter 3 into chapter 4, so it's page 1029. So I'm reading from verse 21, and into chapter 4. There's a long list of names, so bear with me as we go through this long list of names. And if I get any wrong, don't shout out. I'm doing my best. So we're beginning in Luke chapter 3, verse 21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mathathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Marth, the son of Mattathias, the son of Semin, the son of Josek, the son of Joda, the son of Joanan, the son of Resha, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kozam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Ur, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Jorim, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meleah, the son of Mena, the son of Mattatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashon, the son of Aminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Iba, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Kenan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, "Tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, please keep that passage open. We're going to be thinking about those words together. And I think that the theme of this section, along with a lot of what we've seen in Luke so far, is you can be confident in Jesus. Particularly here, you can be confident Jesus is God's Son. You can be confident that Jesus is God's Son. And so you and I, we need to put our trust in Jesus and keep trusting him. Luke says that he's writing about things that have been fulfilled. God's promise is coming true. And he writes this so that we can be sure, we can be secure, we can know we're safe if we trust Jesus. But I want to say something about, first of all, this baptism of Jesus, where the sky breaks open and the Holy Spirit comes down, and then the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, where the devil tempts him. Because in Europe, many Christians are embarrassed about the idea of the devil, and the Holy Spirit seems far-fetched and dangerous and a bit wacky, and so Christians avoid talking about them to outsiders. But we must listen to God's word about these things, even if it makes us different from the world. At the same time, many cultures in Asia and Africa have a belief in supernatural spirits, because it's much more acceptable in that culture. But often they're sharing those ideas with the other religions that exist in those cultures. Churches often accept the religious views of the devil and spirits rather than what the Bible teaches. We must listen to what God's word teaches us about these things, even if it makes us different from the world. So in contrast to European culture, the Bible tells us spirit beings are real. Angels, demons, the Holy Spirit, the devil, they all exist. So these accounts that I've just read in the Bible, the Bible's not telling us this was a dream or a parable, a picture story. They are real world events. When the Holy Spirit came down from heaven, it wasn't just a word picture of Jesus sort of coming to a new understanding. When the devil tempted him in the wilderness, it wasn't just a word picture of Jesus having an inner struggle. These are real things. European culture needs to listen to the Bible. But in contrast to what happens in many African and Asian cultures, the great problem the Bible is telling us here is not ancestral curses and spirits that trouble us. Our great problem is our sin that makes us enemies from God. So when you're coming to church, you know, we're not trying to calm down spirits that are troubling you. Don't come to the man of God to deal with ancestral curses and to make dangerous spirits safe for you. Church is about bringing us to the Lord Jesus, who's in the scriptures, and to trust him. And if I'm the man of God, my role is to point you to Jesus in the Bible and to teach you what is in his word. And the Bible is saying the Son of God has come. The barrier between God and us is our sin and the wrath that that brings. And Jesus breaks that barrier. So in this section, we've got Jesus is the Son of God. We can be confident he is able to help us. And we should be thankful he's come to help us. We see that when Jesus is baptized and God says, "You are my son." We see it in that long list of names, his genealogy or family tree, and we see it when the devil tests him. So first point, there's a sentence on the board, I think, hopefully Luke 3 to 4, and the first one, trust Jesus. God tells us Jesus is his son. Jesus is baptized with all the people. Now that's odd, because think about it. What has John said about the baptism? He said, if you look back at chapter 3, verse 3, that's John, went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus doesn't need to repent. Jesus doesn't need to be forgiven for his sins. So what's he doing being baptized? Jesus is joining in with the sinners going to baptism because he came alongside us. There's no claim here that Jesus has decided he's a sinner. But this is him coming alongside us who are sinners because he came to be with us. Three important things happen. First, heaven was opened. Now, we don't know what that looked like. Some sort of opening up of the sky. We don't know, and Luke isn't describing it for us. Secondly, out of the opening of heaven, the Holy Spirit comes down. And like I've said, it's not just a word picture. Does that mean the Holy Spirit wasn't with Jesus before? I don't think it does say that. I think it's an action to show us. It's a gesture. It's like when politicians come out of the meeting, you know, they've been in there all night arguing over it, and they shake hands in front of the camera. They've already made the deal inside, but they come out and they make this gesture. I think the Holy Spirit is coming down as an action so that we see the Holy Spirit is with Jesus. So there's the splitting of heaven, there's the Holy Spirit coming down, and then again from heaven, the voice. So that's in verse 22. And the Holy Spirit descended on him, on Jesus, in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my son." Those words from Psalm 2, which is why I asked Grace to read it just now. God is fulfilling his plan. His promises are coming true. Here is the Son, he's promised. So heaven opens because God is in action here. The Holy Spirit comes down because God, the Holy Spirit, is with Jesus in all he does. And God the Father confirms, Jesus, he is my Son. So as it says on the board, you can trust Jesus. God tells us Jesus is his Son. We should thank our Father and thank Jesus that he came among us. He came alongside us. He came to rescue us. And we have Jesus' identity as the Son of God made clear to us from heaven here. It is right that we sing about him and we sing thanks for him every week here. We should never stop singing about Jesus, should we, in this church, if this is who he is, the Son of God, who's come to be alongside sinners like you and me. Second thing, you can trust Jesus. Look at his family. I've never preached this long list of names, and I've never thought properly about what it's doing in our Bible and how to read it. It feels just like a long list, doesn't it? And I've always wondered, well, maybe if I was more of a Bible expert and I knew more about all the people in the list, it would have a different effect on me. But in fact, only 11 of the 77 names is known from the Old Testament. So we can't know about most of them. Even for people who know their Bibles really well, it is just a list of names, as I'd always, you know, thought when I'd read it. So what's it doing there? Well, let's think about that. First, there's three important things. First, how this list starts, verse 23. Now, Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. I'm not going to go any further. So it was thought, and the implication there is it was wrongly thought. And we know that if we've read from the beginning of Luke. People wrongly thought Jesus was Joseph's son because we know he's the Son of God. Remember, that's the confusion. It's on the previous page when Joseph and Mary had left Jesus in Jerusalem. If you look on page 1028 down at the bottom there, verse 48. When his parents, this is Mary and Joseph, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Why have you stayed in Jerusalem? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Which father does she mean? Joseph, yeah. Joseph and me, Mary, we've been anxious. And what does Jesus say? "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house or dealing with my father's things?" See, he was wrongly thought by Mary there to, you know, as Joseph's son. He's God's son. Like Mary, we will struggle to understand Jesus. Others misunderstood him. They make false assumptions about him. Even those who love him and serve him, we find him hard to grasp. How much more those who don't know him and don't trust him. That's how it starts. Then we've got the long list. What does the long list mean? Well, it goes from Jesus all the way back to who? It goes all the way back, not just to Adam, but even to God. All the way back to the beginning. It is all of human history laid out. So Jesus here is connected through to all of the history of humans through generations back to the beginning. So how it starts, confusion about Jesus. Then the long list shows that Jesus is human with us. And then how it ends, verse 38, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. So, as the voice from heaven had said, "You are my son." Now the name list says Jesus is the Son of God. He is in this line of humans, this history of humans, going all the way back, but going back to God. So Jesus is baptized with all the people. He's a human alongside us, but he's not a sinner. He is the Son of God. You can trust Jesus, the Son of God. Look at his family. He's human with us. He's part of human history, but he's also from God. You can trust Jesus. He's not a make-believe story character. He belongs in this world, not from a make-believe world. He comes in the line of human history, but he is from God. So on the board, you can trust Jesus. God tells us Jesus is his son. Trust Jesus. Look at his family. And then third, trust Jesus. The Son of God is tested by the devil and wins. The Son of God is tested by the devil and wins. Chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Tempted, right? I put tested, but it's tempted here. What's the temptation? Temptation is where something or someone makes you want to do something or have something that you shouldn't. You know, it's a pull, pulls on our desires, pulls on our thinking, pulls on our wanting to have something or do something that we shouldn't. Now, who decides we shouldn't? Well, according to the Bible, of course, it's God, isn't it? So we're tempted to do something against God. That's what Jesus experiences. It's extraordinary. Look at those first verses again. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. He goes out, and what happens immediately when Jesus is full of the Spirit? He gets tempted by Satan. We must not imagine if here on church on Sunday we are full of the Spirit, we will have no temptations. Because it wasn't like that for Jesus. Where it was when he was full of the Spirit that he had temptations. And also interesting in that first verse, who's leading him at this point? Who's initiating all this? It's the Spirit. Yes, verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted. The Spirit's leading him to the place where he's going to be tempted. Temptations don't happen because the devil jumps into God's plan, sneaks up on Jesus. The Spirit leads Jesus to be tempted. It's about Jesus being led by the Spirit and showing that he truly is the Son of God, showing that he is going to continue, like he said to his mother in the temple, "Didn't you know I had to be devoting myself to my Father's things?" And he shows here he is devoted to his Father, although the devil tries to push him away. There are this is a famous part of the Bible, isn't it? Three temptations. Verse 3, the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God..." Do you notice he's focusing on that identification of Jesus? "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus says, verse 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone. There is more to life than bread." And then verse 5, the devil led him up to a high place, showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, says, and he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours." So here's a chance to set up a kingdom without having to be killed on a cross. But it meant turning from God to worship Satan. Notice a couple of things about what worship means here. Worship isn't just singing songs. The meaning of worship in the Bible mainly is about being a servant and about bowing down. So Satan is saying, "Serve me, bow down to me." And that says as well, doesn't it? Not all worship is good. Because you can worship Satan. So just because someone says, "I'm a worshiper," doesn't mean that they're doing something that's good. Anyway, Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Third test, verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," again questioning that, he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully." So he's again saying, test out if you are the Son of God. And verse 12, Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." So here, three times, Jesus, he is the Son of God, he is tested by the devil, and he resists. Want to think for a minute about how the devil tests and how Jesus responds. So firstly, how the devil tempts or tests. The picture here of the devil, it's not the sort of classic picture of a hideous, horrible, evil cartoon monster who's making everything chaos. He doesn't make the earth ugly and bad. He makes the earth seem more attractive. He seems like he's being a friend to Jesus. Because he's not asking Jesus to do things that we would think are sin. Well, what's wrong with making bread and he's not eaten for 40 days? That seems really reasonable. So Satan's saying, get more comfortable in this world. Become a king in this world. Make yourself sure of God. You can't really be sure of God. Make yourself sure of God. All of these temptations about being more comfortable in this world, but without honoring God. One man once told me about losing his temper when he's driving down Church Elm Lane. He said, "The devil made me do it." Well, we see here in the Bible, just as you see elsewhere, the devil can't make one of God's people do something. Demons take possession of people, but if you belong to God, the devil can't make one of God's people do something. All he can do is suggest things. So this would make you happier. Have you thought of this? That'd be much better, wouldn't it? It's only the person who's being tempted, it's only when Satan tempts me and I give in to his temptation that I do it. He doesn't push my hand to do that wrong thing. I reach out my hand and do that wrong thing. So that's Satan's temptation, how he tempts. And how does Jesus respond? Notice how he reacts. He doesn't beat Satan with his fist. Doesn't use powerful force. Interestingly, he doesn't argue with what the devil says. And maybe you wondered, when the devil says, all authority has been given to me, I'm in charge of all the kingdom. Really? So is that true? Jesus doesn't get into an argument with him about that. He doesn't get into an argument with him about that. He just states the word of God. And that's what you and I must do. And we will never be able to do that if we do not mull over the word of God and think about it and pray over the word of God. If our hours are devoted to looking at our telephone screens, we're going to be very weak when it comes to responding to Satan's temptation, aren't we? You can see from the footnotes, the tiny writing at the bottom of the page, down there, there's three references to Deut, D-E-U-T. That's short for Deuteronomy. That's a part of the Bible in the Old Testament, which tells how the people of Israel had given in to temptation. They had craved food, they had worshipped a false god, and they had tested the real God. So in all of these testings, they had failed in 40 years in the wilderness. Here is Jesus. In 40 days in the wilderness, he doesn't fail. He doesn't give in to the temptation. Because Jesus is the fulfillment. He is the true Son of God. We can trust Jesus. The Son of God is tested or tempted by the devil and wins. We must trust Jesus because the devil is stronger than us. But Jesus is stronger than him. If we trust Jesus, the Son of God, we will be safe. So Luke has given us three little insights here, three little aspects of the reasons for trusting Jesus. The voice from heaven says, "This is my Son." Jesus is the Son of God. His family history, the long list of human names, says Jesus has come here, part of human history, but he's from God. He is the Son of God. And then the temptations that the devil subjected him to, when the devil's saying, if you're the Son of God, Jesus says he really is the Son of God, and he wins. The very last verse, verse 13, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. You might want to talk over coffee when you think that time was. Let's pray. Almighty Father, you spoke from heaven, so we can be sure that Jesus is your Son. You gave your Son birth into a human family. He came to be with us sinners in a human family, in human history. And your Son faced Satan's temptation to reject you and to be comfortable in this world, but Satan was defeated. We thank you that Jesus came. We thank you that he came for sinners like us. We will trust in Jesus. Help us to trust him. Amen.